These statements of the Lord's empowered servants are always true, and the acts they perform are exemplary when consistent with those statements. Therefore, one who is intelligent should carry out their instructions. Kushala charitena isham ihasvarato navidyate viparya yena vanartho nirahankarinam prabhu. My dear Prabhu, when these great persons who are free from false ego act piously in this world, they have no selfish motives to fulfill. And even when they act in apparent contradiction to the laws of piety, they are not subject to sinful reactions. Kim uta kila sattvanam tiryan martya devokshasam ishithus chesatavyanam kushala kushala lanvaya. How then could the Lord of all created beings, animal, men, and demigods, have any connection with the piety and impiety that affect his subject creatures? Yadpada pankajaparat nisheva tripta yoga prabhava vidita kila karma bandha swairam charanti munayo pinama nayamanas tasyechayatta vapusha kuta eva bandha. Material activities never entangle the devotees of the Supreme Lord, who are fully satisfied by serving the dust of his lotus feet. Nor do material activities entangle those intelligent sages who have freed themselves from the bondage of all fruitive reactions by the power of yoga. So how could there be any question of bondage for the Lord himself, who assumes his transcendental forms according to his own sweet will? Gopinam tat patina patit Gopinam tat patinam cha sarvesham eva dehinam yontas charati so dhyaksha kridhane neha dehabhak. He who lives as the overseeing witness within the gopis and their husbands, and indeed within all embodied beings, assumes forms in this world to enjoy transcendental pastimes. Purport. We certainly do not assume our bodies to enjoy transcendental pastimes as the Lord does. We eternal souls have accepted material bodies by force because of our foolish attempt to enjoy this material world. The Lord's forms are all eternal, spiritual existence, and cannot be reasonably equated with our temporary flesh. Since Lord Krishna is the Supreme Lord dwelling in within the gopis, their so-called husbands, and all other living beings, what possible sin could there be on his part if he embraces some of the beings he himself has created? What fault could there be if the Lord goes with the gopis to a secret place, since he already dwells within the most secret part of every living being, the core of the heart? Om avyan timidandasya gyananjana chalakaya chakshurun bilitam jinatasmai sri guruve namaha vanshakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhya eva cha Patithanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Jivashadi Gaura Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare. The statements of the Lord's empowered servants are always true, and the acts they perform are exemplary and consistent with those statements. Therefore, one who is intelligent should carry out their instructions. The great devotees of the Lord, they only speak the word of God. Evam parampara praptam idam rajashayo vidho. The disciplic succession, which is originally initiated by Lord Krishna himself, is the vehicle by which Krishna preserves the truth throughout the ages. Krishna, it is explained in the Bhagavatam, he originally spoke to Lord Brahma, Tene Brahma Hridaye, from within his heart. And in turn, Brahma has spoke to his beloved son Narada, who spoke to Vyas. Vedavyas compiled the Vedas, but he also spoke to Srimad-Bhacharya, extracting the essence and the true meaning of the Vedas. In fact, it is the author who really knows the essence and the conclusion of his own writings. So Vedavyasa himself revealed what is the truth and the essence of the Vedas to his own beloved disciple. And in this way, from Madhvacharya, through so many great, pure, self-realized souls, this message has come. And ultimately, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, to set the proper precedent for all beings to follow, he incarnated within this age of Kali Yuga, and he himself received this knowledge, received initiation in this great disciplic succession coming from Lord Sri Krishna. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached his own Guru Maharaj, Ishwarapuri, he appeared before him as one who knew nothing. Later on, he explained that when he approached his spiritual master, he presented himself as a fool. And his Gurudev agreed, "Yes, you are a fool. You just chant Hare Krishna, and you spread the glories of the holy name wherever you go." In this way, the Supreme Lord shows whoever we are, however learned we may be. Factually, Lord Chaitanya, previously as Nimai Pandit, was the greatest scholar in all of India, in all of the world. Digvijay Keshava Kashmiri was easily defeated by him. When he went to East Bengal, thousands upon thousands of people were touching his feet, begging to be his student. Navadvip Dham was the high seat of learning for the whole world. Learning of Shastra, learning of Sanskrit, learning of all the various schools of thought and philosophies. But this Nimai Pandit was considered the most learned and undefeatable. In fact, it was his regular hobby every day to defeat everyone he would come in contact with. People would run from him because they understood that he could smash anyone's pride, however learned they may be. He was also coming from the highest category of Brahminical caste. He was the grandson of Nilambar Chakravarti, who was the most highly esteemed Brahmin of the time in the Nadia district. He had also recently gone to Bengal, and there so many thousands and thousands of students were giving him all sorts of gifts. By these gifts, he became quite wealthy. So here was a man who was the most learned, coming from the highest caste, with so many followers, with such an incredibly famous reputation. And yet, when he appeared before Srila Ishwarapuri, his guru, he presented himself as a fool who knew nothing. He didn't try to show off how many followers he had. He did not try to show his guru how much he knew. He simply presented himself as a fool. And because of this humility, his guru spoke the eternal truth which is coming down through the great disciplic succession of Lord Brahma since time immemorial. And in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated by his example how one must hear the truth submissively, without pride, from a bona fide spiritual master. Yad yad acharati strestas tad tad evita rojana sayat paramanam kurute lokas tad anuvaratate. What great men do, the common men will follow in his footsteps. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the greatest of the great. But when he wants to show how to be a devotee, he has to do it perfectly for our benefit. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. You must approach Guru and inquire submissively and render service to him. So what did Mahaprabhu do? Previous to this, he was a grihastha. He was a grammar and Sanskrit teacher. He met his Guru Maharaj. He inquired submissively. He said to Srila Ishwarapuri that I am surrendering at your lotus feet because it is only by your mercy that I could be delivered from the miseries of this material world. You are the possessor of love of Krishna, and it is only by your grace that I can taste the sweet fruit of prema. Therefore, I am your servant. Please order me. I will do whatever you say. This is how he approached his guru. And his guru spoke the essence of the scripture, that you are part of Krishna. And you can awaken your love of Krishna by always chanting his holy names. And then he gave Gaurasundar an instruction. He said, you take this holy name of Krishna and you preach its glories to all men everywhere. And immediately after hearing this instruction from his guru, his entire life totally changed. When he came back to Navadvip, he only had one business: to chant the holy names and to spread the glories of the holy name everywhere to everyone. He completely detached himself from his whole career previously. He took the order of his guru as life and soul. His guru said, you go everywhere and preach the glories of the holy name in order to fulfill that instruction. First, he just started spreading the glories of the name by having kirtan throughout Navadvip. And at one point, Chand Kazi, who was the powerful Mughal ruler of that area, who had armies and great military strength behind him, He made a law against this chanting. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no one will stand between me and the order of my Guru Maharaj. He conducted the first civil disobedience movement with thousands upon thousands of people with torches in their hands roamed through the streets of Navadvip chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Utterly fearless. Chankazi threatened to take all of his followers, to imprison them, to torture their families, and to take away all their property. But Gaur Sundar, with complete faith, in the words of his guru, "We will continue on, and I will lead the way." And ultimately, Chankazi was converted to become a devotee of Sri Krishna. And ultimately, to fulfill the order of his guru to spread the holy name of Krishna, he was willing to give up his beautiful wife, his wonderful home, and take sannyas. And then for many years, he traveled with his bare foot throughout India, from Jagannath Puri to Cape Komoran in the south, and then coming up the western coast. He came here to Bombay to perform kirtan and spread the glories of the holy name. Everywhere he went, he was just preaching the glories of the holy name. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed by his example, in the role of a devotee, the path of perfection. Tadvadipanibhatena pariprasnena sevaya. To hear submissively from Guru without presenting oneself as anything but an ignorant fool, and then willing to carry out the order of the Guru at any cost. This he did. Of course, we should know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is the Yuga Avatar. And ultimately, it was his purpose for coming to this world to spread the glories of the holy name. But he did it through this process of accepting the instruction from his spiritual master as a submissive, obedient disciple. Just to show the path to all others. One who submissively hears according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and who speaks those words, and who honestly and sincerely endeavors to live by those words. It is explained here by Shukadeva Goswami that the statements of such empowered servants of the Lord are always true. Why are they always true? Because they never deviate from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. One time, I remember, a famous magazine of America was interviewing Srila Prabhupada. They said, "Swamiji, are you perfect?" Guru Maharaj said, "I may not be perfect, but because whatever I speak, I have heard from my Guru Maharaj, everything I say is perfect." The Word of God is the absolute truth. You may have your opinion, I may have my opinion, and he or she may have their opinions. But Krishna's opinion is Param Satyam. It is the supreme absolute truth. Therefore, in learned circles, of true spiritual society. Everything is spoken and accepted on the basis of Shastra. In fact, Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas, they painstakingly, whatever they would say, whatever they would write, they would cite the Shastra from which it originated, just to prove that this is not my opinion. This is not the opinion of any mortals of this world. This is the word of God. This is the word of all the empowered acharyas. Like a postman delivering the message, the empowered servants of the Lord travel throughout this world simply delivering the message of Lord Sri Krishna. And this is the qualification of a genuine spiritual master. Not one who can perform mystic yogic entertainments for us. Not one who can touch us and give us vision of lights. One time they came to our Guru Maharaj and told him about certain gurus. They touch you and you see lights and takes ambrosial tastes in your mouth. And some disciples said to Guru Maharaj that the same thing happens to me when I take LSD. And it is a fact. You'll see incredible lights. You'll taste all kinds of tastes. You'll hear celestial sounds. That's why it was so popular. In fact, there was a whole movement in the Western world to try to elevate your consciousness through LSD. And it was a very popular movement. And the one man named Timothy Leary, he was called the high priest of higher consciousness. And his whole philosophy was just take LSD. So whether someone gives you some experience by touching you, or whether he gives you an experience by giving you a tablet, basically the same experience. No doubt it's creating some sensational experience within one's subtle psychic body. But the Shastras do not give this as a qualification for a real sadhu. The empowered servants of the Lord, they speak the word of God, and they act as servants to that word. That's all. Nothing fancy. Just clear, honest truth. Sarva dharman purityaja. Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna said, surrender to me. What am I saying? Surrender to Krishna. And teaching it by his example. So the statements of the Lord's empowered servants are always true. We should have no doubt. We must have this faith. And it is explained, the acts that they perform are exemplary when they are consistent with those statements. Acharya means one who speaks only what Krishna spoke and whose acts are consistent with what he speaks. Such a person, we can have complete faith that this is the word of God. And Shukadeva Goswami says, intelligence means that we should carry out the instructions of such empowered souls. Then he goes on to explain that these great persons, their qualification is that they are free from false ego. To simply repeat, to simply be a messenger, is humility. To superimpose our own conclusions is false pride. He says that they have no selfish motives to fulfill. Why? Their life is simply for Krishna. They are simply servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Whatever makes Krishna happy is my life and soul. They have no separate interests. And even when they act in apparent contradiction to the laws of piety, they are not subject to sinful reactions. Because they are 100% dedicated to the mission of the Lord, sometimes what they speak may appear to contradict the moral principles of material society. Krishna himself told Yudhisthira to lie. But it was for the benefit of all living beings. It wasn't that Yudhisthira lied for some selfish purpose. If we ever have any selfish motivation, or if we are ever acting independently, then to speak anything that is not purely the truth is sinful. But if we act on the authority of the higher powers with the selfless, compassionate mood of service toward all those concerned, we should understand that this is beyond the relative laws of piety. For instance, the example was given that if a child is sick, he's dying, and the child is not willing to take medicine because the child hates medicine, then the parent may say to the child, "Please, this is not medicine. This is nice, sweet. It tastes very nice. But actually, it's medicine." Morally, the mother is a liar. But because it's a higher truth to save the child's life than to morally be honest and see the child die, spiritually, this whole society is coasting down to death. So to get a person to take prasad, to get a person to chant the holy name, to get a person to offer some seva to Sri Krishna, sometimes out of compassion, we say whatever is required. It is never to cheat the person. It is always to elevate the person. In this material world, if you tell a lie, it's never to elevate someone. It's always to cheat them. But in Krishna consciousness, we want nothing for ourselves. We simply want to serve. We simply want to help. So in this way, it is explained here that great personalities, they are not always bound by the relativistic principles of our modern codes of morality. And Shukadeva Goswami says, if this is true for the great personalities, what to speak of Krishna, who is Ishwara, who is the supreme controller of all controllers, who is the father and author of all moral principles? The principles of morality are essentially coming down through the Manusmriti. The Manusamhita were written by the great Mahajan Swayambhuva Manu. But this Manu was the son of Brahma, who is directly the disciple of Krishna. Ultimately, he is the guru, the Jagat Guru, even of those great personalities who wrote down all the codes of morality for the material world. It is explained here that we may ask, how is it that Krishna is enjoying, apparently, the bodies of the gopis, who are other men's wives? But actually, he created the gopis. He's maintaining the gopis. He's the ultimate husband and father of all living beings. He also created the gopis' husbands. He's created everything. And then the question may be asked, why is he going into secret place? He's already hidden within the hearts, the core of the hearts of the gopis and all living beings. He's already in the most secret place. He's eternally in the most secret place with everyone. So for Krishna, he is completely on the transcendental platform, and he is enacting these pastimes simply to attract the hearts of all living beings to his supreme nature, simply to reciprocate love with his eternal parts and parcels, with his own expansions. So Shukadev Goswami is very logically explaining in these verses how we must see the perfect, pure, spiritual nature of everything that Krishna does. And Krishna, just to make it even more obvious, he performed this Ras Leela when he was only 8 years old. A child that is 8 years old has no sexual feelings in his heart. At 8 years old, the child is still, in this regard, completely innocent. So from the material point of view, as well as from the spiritual point of view, whatever Krishna does is absolute. And we must understand it in that light. How is Krishna 8 years old? Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Lord Brahma, who's trillions and trillions of years old, he is praying that Krishna is my eternal father, master, and I worship him. And he's praying like this at the beginning of creation. Krishna is never 8 years old. Krishna is Navayovanam Cha. He is eternally youthful. He has no age. But he appears to have age simply to attract our hearts, to attract our minds. He appears to act like a beautiful little human child, just to attract our human sentiments to his eternal loving service. Are there any questions?
So, Maharaj, you have very nicely explained about morality and truth. Are we to understand that the origin of the relative truth is morality, whereas the origin of the absolute supreme truth is Krishna?
sarva-karana-karanam. Krishna is the origin of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavam atta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. Krishna says, I am the origin of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. He is the cause of all causes. He expands his own divine energy to create this material world and everything within it. And ultimately, all moral codes are coming from the cones of religion. Dharamantu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Krishna says, Yamaraj explains that God is the origin of all religion. And any religion that doesn't base its truths on the word of God is not a true religion at all. So Krishna is the father of every great religion of this world. Who spoke the Old Testament? On Mount Sinai, God, with a thunderbolt, engraved the Ten Commandments on a stone for Moses. And that's the basic moral principles of all the Western religions. Krishna personally descended to speak the Bhagavad Gita, which is the basic essence of all the religions of India, Sanatan Dharma. In this way we find that God is directly the original speaker of every religion in this world, real religion. And all the codes of morality throughout every society of this planet are originally coming from the scriptures of those religions. And of Krishna, the whole purpose of following moral principles is it is a means of surrendering to Krishna. Huh? But then Krishna says, sarva dharman purityaja. Don't be attached to all of these external forms of religion. Just be attached to surrendering to me. That is the conclusion of all these religions. That is the purpose of all religions, to ultimately bring you to the point of surrendering to God. Is there any other questions?
This doubt used to be there in my mind that all our acharyas are saying that ours is a preaching movement. All the devotees, whosoever come into this movement, they have to come out and they have to preach. Now, as and when we go out for preaching, or we just try whatever has been said by our acharyas, and any of the person who becomes somewhat convinced enough by the philosophy, and he come into spiritual life. But before that, if that false pride has not gone from our heart, whatever it has been said, then that devotee has come into the spiritual life, but we feel it that that person has come because of me and not because of the causeless mercy of the spiritual master and the Krishna. And due to that reason, the spiritual master of Krishna is not going to be happy because my pride has gone up. That person might have come into spiritual life, but my pride has gone up. And that is unnecessarily, it is a, so to say, destruction of spiritual master would not be liking it because the pride has gone up altogether. So is it not so that we should go out for preaching, or we should go and we should do preaching only unless and until that pride which is there in our mind, that is gone off altogether. Otherwise, unnecessarily, we are not coming near to Krishna, but we are going far away from Krishna.
If you are not sincere to give up your pride, whatever you do, you will become bewildered. You can go to Vrindavan and think, if I preach, I will become proud. So I will chant 3 lakhs of names of God every day. Then you will undoubtedly be proud to just see what a Mahatma I am. I am chanting more than anyone else. I am like Haridas Thakur. And if you think that whatever I do in Krishna consciousness, I become proud of it, so I should do nothing in Krishna consciousness, then I'll be humble. Then you'll just be a fallen soul. We have to learn the art of purifying ourselves of pride. That means we have to hear regularly, sincerely. It's a question of sincerity. We hear every day that we are the servant of the servant of the servant. We hear every day that Krishna is the ultimate doer of everything. We are aspiring, if we aspire to be an instrument in the hands of our guru, even if pride may be there, because we are aspiring to be an instrument, a servant, if we are aspiring to give all credit to him, that aspiration, performing your service with that aspiration, will attract Krishna to purify your pride. But if you're not motivated to be an instrument in the hands of your guru and give credit to him, if you're actually motivated to get prestige and distinction through what you're doing, then your successes will be a great obstacle for your spiritual progress. So we must perform our duty, we must preach, that is the order of guru, but we must preach with the proper motivation. Understand?
So, Maharaj, unless we are not reached to that motivation also, we should not preach?
No, you must preach. To not preach is another type of false pride, to think I know better than my guru what's good for me. My guru tells me to preach, and by preaching I will become humble. But I know that I'll be more humble if I don't preach. That is the worst pride, to think that you know more than your own spiritual teacher. Lord Chaitanya told Vasudev, you want to give, everything is situated on your desire. Are you preaching with the aspiration that I am simply the delivery boy of my guru? I am simply an instrument of his mercy. It is his words, it is his grace, it is his power I am delivering to others. This is my aspiration. If that is your aspiration, you will become cleansed by preaching. But you have to be very strict in your sadhana, and you have to continuously be reminded that that is your aspiration. That is why we have to hear every day. And there is nothing so purifying and so humbling as preaching the message of the Lord. But as I have said, if your aspiration is not to be an instrument of guru, but to be famous and loved and well known, then your preaching is hardly even considered devotional service anymore.
Said it that sometimes we have to give medicine to a child who is not willing to take the sweet we give, tell him that I'm speaking little lie that it is sweet but actually it's medicine. Now don't you think that it is only to be told by the matured people? Sometimes neophyte devotee, they get an idea that for spreading Krishna consciousness, I can speak lie. and by that method they speak to their parents or to the other people.
We have already said that you have no right unless you have the authority of higher powers. You have no right to act in any way independent of the pure truth unless you have the authority of higher powers. Without that sanction, you cannot say anything that is not pure and correct.
But last night, Maharaj, you said it, that sometimes it is not possible for a disciple to come daily in contact with the Guru, and in that situation you gave instruction that you do the needful. And in that needful, because sometimes if he thinks, well, this is the way I must do it, and the most of the people do like that. And this is the truthfulness is the only method in Kali Yuga, as I understand. And if that is also being taken away by speaking lie, then people lose faith in the movement.
Why you are using your brain to interpret everything? What does it mean to do the needful? You are interpreting it means to just be a concoctor and a liar. Not at all. It means to humbly approach the spiritual master and get instruction. What is needful? You have no right to act independently or immoral. One more question.
Question to Anandanda's question regarding preaching. In a neophyte stage, we do strive to follow the instructions. Our Guru Maharaj says not to have any sense gratification and so many other things. So when we say something to others, when you preach someone not to have this, not to do this, not to do that, and do this, you should chant regularly, you should follow the instructions, you should do this, you should serve your spiritual master. And when we ourselves don't do this, then definitely it creates a wrong impression. The person whom you are preaching to will not take us very seriously. Like you said, what you practice, you should practice what you preach. So is it not so in a neophyte condition that we are not in a position to really actually preach someone?
You preach according to your realization. Don't try to preach beyond your realization. Don't think you can preach very high, high levels of intimate philosophy. Preach the basic philosophy honestly and try to follow. How do we come to the realization? Through service. What is our main service? To preach. It is by preaching that we gain these realizations. We must preach basic Krishna consciousness. Until we have very high, sublime, deep realizations, we should not preach these higher concepts. We should preach the basic principles. Without inventing anything, just repeat and try to follow. That is perfect preaching. Anyone can do it. If all you know is chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is God, that's all you know, tell everyone you meet. Don't invent anything else. That is perfect preaching.
But you cannot stop your preaching at that particular point only, because they would like to know more.
If that's all you know, you tell them, that's all I know. You come and meet my guru, or you meet one of my advanced god brothers, he can tell you more. Don't try to artificially present yourself as knowing more if you don't. You tell them what you have heard. Don't concoct. Be honest. We have to be 100% honest. This idea of thinking that Krishna consciousness means I'm transcendental, so I can lie, I can invent, I can create, is bogus. It will ruin your spiritual life and it will ruin our whole mission. You cannot lie. You cannot speak anything but what's ordained by God. If in a certain emergency situation, to elevate someone's consciousness, we may say something, but it's not a lie. It's an act of compassion. But unless you are ordained to do that, don't dare try it. You be honest. Don't present yourself as something you're not. If all you know is to chant Hare Krishna and Krishna's God, if someone asks anything beyond that, don't try to invent something to protect your position. You tell them, come to this devotee, he can answer your questions. Read this book, it will answer all your questions. This is what I know. I'm a beginner. Be honest. That is a perfect preacher. But you should also be studying and learning and hearing submissively, so you have more and more and more that you can offer to people. That should be your impetus. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.